research from the University of Connecticut suggests there are health benefits to a reversal of the stereotypical gender roles in a relationship. It found, in general, that a man's health and well-being increased when he was the stay-at-home partner or when his wife was the primary breadwinner. His health declined when he was the primary breadwinner. At the same time, the women who were the primary breadwinners were better off psychologically. Their physical health stayed the same. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August 25th. We will get our guests' reaction to this new study, but we will talk more about the different issues that are raised when a woman makes more money than a man in a relationship. And I'm looking forward to hearing how this works or doesn't work in your relationship. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Farnoosh Torabi, a nationally renowned personal finance expert, speaker, and TV personality. Her books include You're So Money, Psych Yourself Rich, and When She Makes More, 10 Rules for Breadwinning Women. You can check out her podcast at SoMoneyPodcast.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, I know you didn't do this research, but what is your reaction to this research that in general found that men are better off, at least health and well-being-wise, if they are not the primary breadwinner?
Well, I think it's encouraging. I also want to point out that this study looks specifically at the younger millennial male demographic, men aged 18 to 32, and I think specifically with that younger generation, I find that many of these individuals were probably raised with untraditional households themselves, whether they had single moms or moms who worked, moms who made more. So there's that that's fueling, I think, their appreciation of being in a relationship where the gender stereotypes don't hold up. But also I think that, look, I wrote a book about women breadwinners. There's a lot of conversation right now in our country about women female leadership, and we want to promote that. And I think that forward-thinking couples, men, women, are more and more open to at least the reality that when you're in a relationship, the economic dynamics are not going to always be traditional, and it would behoove everyone in the relationship to look at the positive of, if they're having any issues with maybe some of the gender conflicts that they're facing, sometimes we enter a relationship with certain expectations. As a woman, this is going to be my role. As a man, I should be the breadwinner. And if that's not the case, that can be a little jarring at first for some people. But if you can get over the gender stereotypes and you can look at a relationship for really a union of man, woman, in this case, heterosexual couples, let's pull together our strengths. Let's appreciate the benefits of maybe as a man, I'm not the breadwinner for once, and that has its positive, as the study's showing. It's stressful to be a breadwinner, and I'm the breadwinner in my marriage. I can speak from that personally, especially when you have now a family and children and a lot of other responsibilities. I think it can get very complex as the relationship matures. And that's the other thing about this study, is that they're catching these couples perhaps at a stage in their marriages that maybe children haven't arrived. And so I'd be curious to learn more about the other factors that were involved. But I think it is probably safe to say that as we evolve as a society and as the younger generation becomes more aware of the realities, of the economic realities and the social realities of men and women, it should not surprise men in relationships that maybe they're not the breadwinner, and they should find ways to really find peace with that. And there are many advantages to being someone in a relationship that plays a more economic supporting role.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of those advantages too. And I'm glad you pointed out that this was a study of millennials. I didn't bring that up. It also was suggesting, the researcher was speculating, that one of the reasons why a man's health and well-being was better if he was not the primary breadwinner, and a woman's health and well-being was better if she were the breadwinner, was because women view this more as an opportunity, and men viewed it more as an obligation. What do you think of that?
Well, personally, as the breadwinner in my marriage, I'm very grateful that I was able to pursue my career, and it just so happens that I make more than my husband. It wasn't something that I went out seeking necessarily to make more than him or be the breadwinner in our marriage. It just ended up being the way that it is. And while I definitely appreciate that and I find a lot of gratitude in my role, I'll be honest, now that we've been married for 5 years, we have a child, we have a home, it's not just an opportunity. I'm obligated in some ways to stay in this role for some time. You know, we have become very dependent on my money, on my income. And I think whether you're the man or the woman, I think that is a part of being a breadwinner. And that leads to sometimes the pressure of feeling that, you know, you can't stop the momentum that you've built, that you want to continue pursuing your career simply because your family depends on it. And fortunately, I've discovered a career that I love, so it's not a problem. But I think that for men, sometimes in the past, it's been the expectation, and by the way, still the expectation. Pew did a study a few years ago looking at how Americans view economic responsibilities in relationships, and a majority, 67% of Americans, think it's still the man's responsibility to support his family primarily before getting married, to be able to do that, to be able to be prepared to do that. So I think men are raised sometimes with this conditioning, and that sometimes forces them to get into careers not for the passion, not for the love, but for the paycheck. And that has consequences, and I think that can lead to more stress. But I think if you are approaching your career with, as many women sometimes do, with passion and heart, and then you end up making more, I mean, that's the best case scenario, right? That you led with your heart as you pursued your career, ended up making money, good money. And I think that's more of the story for women. But we have to also acknowledge that once we're in that role as breadwinner and life gets busy and complicated and complex and you have dependents now, depending on your income, that is an opportunity, but it carries some stress and it carries pressure.
Interesting, yeah. So that maybe the millennial women haven't been at this business of being the primary breadwinner all that long.
Perhaps. And we know for a fact that more and more people are getting married later in life. They're having kids later in life. And again, I don't know. I don't want to speculate that this study didn't include many parents, but you know, just generally speaking, millennials aren't really the base of parents in this country, 18 to 32.
Do you think the attitudes, you mentioned that still with the various surveys, Americans believe that the man should be the breadwinner more so than the woman. But if you singled out the millennials, is the attitude changing? Do you know?
In conversations, definitely. I've heard that, and I think that, well, here's the thing. Even when doing my research, whether you were a millennial or a baby boomer or in between, people intelligently would say there's nothing wrong with a man not being the breadwinner and the woman being the breadwinner. And truthfully, I think that this is where the conflict is. I think we have our very progressive, intelligent brains that are looking around at society and aware of what's going on and, you know, understanding political correctness and speaking out loud and saying there's nothing wrong and there's no harm or conflict when a woman becomes breadwinner. And I would be more than happy as a man to be married to a female breadwinner. I've heard that a lot. But actions speak louder than words. And what the studies have shown is that when there is a female breadwinner in the relationship, there is a higher probability for cheating. There's more divorce. And that's not to say that female breadwinners are a problem. I think the reason I wanted to write my book as a female breadwinner was I wanted to erase this problem and say, hey, this is actually an opportunity. Here's how to thrive in your relationship when you have a woman making more than the man. If you feel that this is something that this is foreign to you, you don't know how to handle with it emotionally, logistically. I wanted for successful women who find love to be able to find also success in their relationships. And I felt that was really missing from the conversation that we were having. There was a lot of conversation about leaning in. There was a lot of conversation about women pursuing, you know, whatever they want. And that was the rhetoric in my household growing up. For anyone, you should go get a degree, get a master's degree, ask for the raise, get promoted, start a business. I did all of those things. No one ever told me what that was going to mean for me once I was in a relationship with a man, perhaps making more. And it's not the same as necessarily as a man making more than a woman in a relationship. We don't necessarily hate us for this, but we do sometimes lean on our gender and we think, well,
let me jump in because we have news next and then we'll continue talking about when she makes more. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with the author of the book, When She Makes More, talking about the issues that arise when, as a couple, a woman makes more money than a man. We're welcoming your questions and your experiences. Are you in this situation? How's that working for you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Farnoosh Torabi. She is a nationally renowned personal finance expert, speaker, and TV personality, author of several books. Her latest is When She Makes More, 10 Rules for Breadwinning Women. And I wanted to get into those 10 rules, Farnoosh, but first of all, can you give us an idea of how many women are in this situation? Are you in a very small minority of women breadwinners?
Well, we're still a minority, but we're a fast growing minority. We're a fast growing group. Joy, if you look at the statistics from the 60s, the Mad Men era, about 6% of women in marriage were the main breadwinners. Fast forward to today, Pew Research finds that it's about 24% of married women in heterosexual relationships making more than their husbands. But overall, women, household breadwinners, and that includes single moms as well, 40% of households across the country. So we are a force, and we are, I think the trend is only going to grow as more and more women graduate from college and grad school. Currently, we are doing so at a higher level than men. And if you also look at the industries that are growing, booming, many of them are employing women at higher rates. And so I think it's a bright outlook for female breadwinners. And this, I think, conversation has just begun.
Yeah. Well, you touched on it, but talk a little bit more about why we are seeing female breadwinners growing in number. It's because of higher education and the job market?
Those are the two, I think, biggest forces. I think one is, yes, we're seeing more women graduate from college and graduate school, more women than men. And then if you look at a lot of the industries like healthcare, services, education that are really growing more than some of the others that are perhaps contracting, those industries are more widely recruiting women. And so women, generally speaking, may have more stability in their careers if they choose those paths. But also, we discussed earlier that men and women are marrying later in life, and I think the later in life that you do get married, it's more likely that by that point you have become more established in your career, you've focused more on your career, you've perhaps accumulated some assets, savings, real estate, and that's true for men and women. But I think if you look at who's buying more real estate in their 20s right now in this country, that's women. So I think from all those angles, we see women arriving at marriage, sometimes making more than their husbands.
Yeah, and I'd like to get into a little bit your situation, if you don't mind. So, were you making more money than your husband when you got into your marriage?
At the very beginning of dating, we were making equal amounts, more or less. But it was, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. He works for an industry. He works for a company. So I think, you know, it was always expected that I could potentially make more, given just that there was no limit to my income. And as we, and honestly, Joy, you know, in the beginning, it was very innocuous. It didn't matter. I think he really liked the fact too that I made more, and he still liked the fact. But I think what for us was the specific issue or issues. One was, I'm from a very traditional family background. My parents are Middle Eastern, and I think that they were not expecting their daughter, who, by the way, they encouraged to go out there in the world and conquer everything. Still didn't expect me to arrive in a relationship making more than my partner. They still, in that way, they were very traditional, and they made that clear to me at one point. You know, voicing concerns actually, like, how is it going to work for you guys? You making more when you have kids? I mean, are you going to continue working at this pace in your career? Who's going to be the primary caretaker, et cetera, et cetera? And truthfully, I hadn't thought it all the way through, and I was a little annoyed that they were asking me all of these questions and not appreciating the fact that I could support myself and I was married to a man I love. Like, isn't that enough? But still, I think, you know, you can't ignore your mom, and I think for me that was always this voice that was nagging, and it did pressure me a little bit. But then between he and I think what we discovered, and it wasn't really intentional, but I think because of the fact that I made more and he made less, we ended up in this pattern where I would just make decisions, financial decisions, not really consult with him. And he, at the same time, didn't feel, and we talked about this, and so that's why I know, he felt that it wasn't always, he didn't always feel confident speaking up and saying, hey, let's spend this money on this trip or here or there. He felt that it was still my money, not our money. And so I think, you know, I sensed this, and I started to feel very lonely. I said to him, I'm like, on this island of when she makes more, and I'm making all these decisions in a silo, and it's no fun, and I take blame for it, but also, why aren't you speaking up more? And he said, you know, I honestly feel a little over, you know, not so confident, and I feel like I don't want to be stepping on your toes. And I thought that this is not a relationship if this is how we're acting. So we started to incorporate some systems in the relationship, some guidelines, which I talk about in the book, that have really helped us level the financial playing field, as I call it. Yeah. You know, whether you make more, you make less. There's the income disparity can also create communication disparity and control disparity, and how to actually, you know, create some harmony in your relationship so that everyone feels, even if they're making less or more, that they feel like equal contributors as far as voicing their opinions and feeling like they had some responsibility towards all the decisions that were made regarding the household.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first things that we did that really helped and avoided some tension and uneasiness around money in our relationship.
And while this new research suggests, at least among millennial men, that their health and well-being is better when they're not the primary breadwinner, your research finds that that most men, maybe the older men, are they feel that, like your husband felt, sort of a lack of confidence, and and there is there's at least certainly some psychological pressures on men that they feel they're not living up to their stereotypical role.
Right, and that has a lot to do with, again, biology, how for centuries men have been conditioned to prepare for life. And I think for older men, perhaps it's very jarring when they're in a relationship and they feel like their purpose was supposed to be the financial, most important financial person in the relationship. When that is no longer required of them, it does require some soul searching. It does require a shifting of re-identifying your purpose in your marriage. which has to happen consciously. It's not going to happen for you. And for the couples that don't end up staying together, I think it's because they haven't communicated this and haven't been open to restructuring their relationship as far as roles and responsibilities. And you know, taking a page from this new study, which is a great study, and I think what I took away from it was that, and what we talk about in the book, is that ultimately for a relationship to thrive in a paradigm where she makes more, you have to be able to let go of some of these gender stereotypes and at least not feel that you are less than as a man because you make less, or that for some, it's not feminine for you to be making more. You know, those are very dated stereotypes, and it would benefit everybody in the relationship to just relinquish those feelings if they can. Not to say deny the fact that you're a woman or deny the fact that you're a man, but rather when it comes to simply roles and responsibilities in a relationship, look at what your strengths are. Look at what you want to do. And going back to my earlier tip for couples, where if you're a man making less and you're a woman making more, and redefining your roles in the relationship and your purposes in the relationship, I find that what's really successful for couples is when a woman says to her husband, here is the most important thing that I would love for you to do that would not only support me, but really support our household. Men like hearing that, you know, and that's, again, a gender thing. But let's take some of those things to our advantage. You know, if there are different ways that men and women like to be communicated to and it's harmless, well, why not incorporate that into your relationship to make it more successful? And the women who recognize that they have a spouse who still wants to be the, you know, an ultimate supporter, and he still wants to be her quote-unquote hero, and maybe he's not able to do that financially, what are some other ways he can do that? And he needs to hear that from her, because he that's why he's there. He's there for her. So this is an opportunity for women to recognize in their own lives what's stressing them out, what is a condition that could benefit from some switching around. Like in our relationship, my husband came to me and he's like, how can I help you? I want to help you. And at first I was, because I'm a strong modern woman, I can take care of everything myself, you know. And I think that's typical. But I forced myself to get vulnerable. I forced myself to identify what my weaknesses were and to leverage my husband, who's ready and willing and able and wanting to help me. And I said, you know, it would be great if we could find a way for you to switch your hours at work, because what was happening was I was rushing home from work early to release our nanny and then never getting to finish up my work for the day. So, like, I thought for some reason I could finish it, like, after the baby went to sleep. No, because by then you're so tired. So I said, it would be great if maybe you could come home earlier. I could stay at work a little bit later. And that way, you know, I wouldn't be catching up. And that for me has been life changing. And for him, you know, it was not a hard thing for him to do. So as a relation, as a couple, you need to figure out what that adjustment is going to be, what that new role for your spouse can be to really feel like he's supporting you in the best way possible.
We are talking about what can happen to a relationship, to a family, when the woman is the primary breadwinner. And perhaps the man stays home or is not making as much money as the woman. Are you in this situation? How does this work for you? Are you making changes when it comes to typical gender roles to make your marriage work? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Farnoosh Torabi. She is the author of When She Makes More, 10 Rules for Breadwinning Women. And we are welcoming your experiences and or your questions for her. We have Angela on Facebook who says, my husband and I have been married 9 years, together 13. I am younger than him, so when we met, he was the breadwinner. About 2 years ago, he was very unhappy with his career in accounting and wanted a more active career. He switched to being a courier and has never been happier. At the same time, I gained experience in my field and I became the director of a department, becoming our main breadwinner over the past couple of years. We are both happy with our situation. I think the key is that we see the money as ours and we participate equally in the money decisions, regardless of who brings more money in. She adds that he's Generation X and I am on the cusp of Generation X and Millennial. Any reaction, Farnoosh, to that story?
I love this story. I think what we haven't talked about yet, which the couple exemplifies, is that relationships are malleable. The economics in a relationship can change, and it is important for couples to anticipate that you might enter a relationship making less. It may flip. And we saw that, you know, in the recession, a lot of men lost their jobs. A disproportionate number of men lost their jobs to women in the recession. And so in households across the country, we suddenly found an influx of female breadwinners, and it was unexpected. And I think for some of those couples, it was a difficult transition. They didn't expect it. It's also a very stressful time in general. But how nice was it that this couple was able to have a dialogue about how he was unhappy. He wanted to try something new. And at the same time, she wanted to, you know, work harder in her career and get promoted. So, you know, it helps to talk through these things, you know, as opposed to him feeling, oh, you know, I just need to maintain my role because that's what I'm supposed to do as a man. And then he would continue to be unhappy. That could lead to resentment, you know, and it all goes uncommunicated and it could blow up one day. So let this be an example to other couples out there that if you're unhappy in your career, you need to talk about this with your significant other and find a way for harmony to exist.
Yeah. I found interesting, too, that maybe you can talk a little bit about choosing a career that makes you happy versus making a lot of money, that her husband wanted to do something more exciting and which made less money, but it made him happy.
Yeah. Well, if it happens, as it did with this couple, in the middle of a marriage, I think it takes planning. I can't just say, I'm quitting my job today, bye.
Yeah.
That's not fair to the relationship. And so it's important that you first voice it and then you look at the options and how you can make the transition. And maybe it does mean living on less for a while. Well, how is that going to shift your budget? And it can be completely doable, but it does require planning. And I encourage people to do that because life's too short. You shouldn't be in a career that you hate. You should be enjoying your job. So that's my advice for people who are in the midst of a relationship looking to, you know, transition careers.
Yeah, here's my story. Very briefly, my husband and I think we made about the same amount of money throughout our careers, but he has just retired. So now I am the primary breadwinner. And he jokingly, and I think he enjoys it. He talks about it. It's his job now to do most of the housework he always did. We share in getting takeout. We don't cook. I think it's transitioning well. But that's where he's kind of taking on some duties that maybe we would have shared in the past when he's not, now that he's not working.
That's very commendable. Mm-hmm. I know marriages where it's the absolute opposite, where one person retires and I was just talking to someone on my podcast, and they said it's important when you retire that you retire to something, not from something, that you have something to do after retirement. It doesn't have to be a money-making thing, but you have a sense of what your day is going to be like and that you get up in the morning and you have things to do.
I should add that he is a part-time yoga instructor, and he actually works very hard, and he still brings in an income as a yoga instructor, and he's my yoga instructor, too, so...
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. So that's pretty much the best that it gets at that point in retirement. I mean, it's pretty awesome. So, yeah, having some, if you can make money, great, if you're still up for it. But mostly it's important to just have a purpose in retirement, you know?
Let me jump in again because we have another newscast from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will get into some more of the 10 rules for breadwinning women. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the various issues that are raised when a woman makes more money than a man in a relationship. And I'm looking forward to hearing how it works or doesn't work in your relationship. I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't heard from many callers, only a couple of callers who apparently are shy and don't want to talk about their situation. Do we not have any breadwinning women listening along? Does this work for you or not? Is your husband happy to take, the back seat when it comes to making money? Any stay-at-home dads who are listening now? Are you happy to be a stay-at-home dad or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. If there is an income disparity in your relationship, how does it affect your relationship? We had Sherry who emailed. Our guest is Farnoosh Torabi, who is a nationally renowned personal finance expert, speaker, and TV personality. Her books include You're So Money, Psych Yourself Rich, and When She Makes More, 10 Rules for Breadwinning Women. We asked her to speak with us because we saw some new research from the University of Connecticut that suggests that there are health benefits to a reversal of the stereotypical gender roles in a relationship. This new research found that at least when it comes to millennials, a man's health and well-being increased when he was the stay-at-home partner or when his wife was the primary breadwinner. At the same time, millennial women who were the primary breadwinners were better off psychologically. Apparently, their physical health stayed the same. So that was our news peg for talking about this issue, but we thought it was an interesting issue overall to just talk about what happens when she makes more. And we had Sherry who emailed, who said, your guest is automatically and incorrectly equating breadwinner with hardest working. I don't know if I sense that, but maybe she thinks somebody can work very hard but not make as much money. What do you want to talk about that, Farnoosh?
Sure. Maybe she thought my story about asking my husband to change his hours a little bit, gave her that impression. Absolutely not. You know, I don't think that a teacher works any less than a doctor who makes more. I think that's a misnomer, and actually that's something that I encourage couples in relationships to, if that is a stereotype that they're holding on to squash it, because money does not equal power. Making more money does not equal more importance or more meaningful work. It just sometimes is a circumstance of your career and of your industry. You know, some industries just pay much better than others, and it's not fair necessarily, it's just it is what it is. But sometimes there is a correlation, but it's not to assume that that is the norm. I'm sorry that she got that impression. Yeah. That's not how we feel in our marriage.
Right. Sherry goes on to say, if anyone were to suggest that a woman staying home with the children and managing the household should say to her breadwinning husband, how can I help you more? There would be outrage. What about that?
Well, I think when we were talking about that, it was assuming that the man was working. He was just making a little bit less or less. And in that situation, too, he was feeling that his purpose was compromised a little bit, and he wanted to redefine his role in a more meaningful way in the marriage for her. So that was why we suggested, a female asking. This is the thing, Joy. The rules are different when you're a female breadwinner. That's why I wrote a book. And it's not to assume that the same things that happen in a relationship or the same things that would help a relationship when there's a female breadwinner are going to be the same tricks and tactics that will work in a hetero in a relationship where there is equal income or the man is making more. So the fact that the woman is staying home and taking care of two kids, that is, in for all intents and purposes, a very important role, maybe the most important role for that household. And so there is nothing left for her to give at that point. And it would, you know, annoy me too if my husband came to me and said, what else can you do for me? But we're talking about simply when there's an income disparity and he's making less and maybe their work hours are the same, but he, you know, deep down, he just feels he wants to do more. He wants, and so women, like, take advantage of that, you know, like, leverage that and make that, make it a win-win for everybody.
Now we have full lines because I encouraged people to call in. Sean in Oakfield is with us. Hello, Sean.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just wanted to say that I am a work-at-home dad, and my wife works outside the home. We both have full-time jobs. I just happen to be home. She does make more than I do, not substantially more, but some more. And she takes care of the finances. I take care of the household duties. And we've been doing that the last, approximately 4 years. And I can tell you that my mental health and physical health has probably increased. And I want to say she's probably happier, too, to have some of that home responsibility taken off of her shoulders.
Yeah, Sean. When you say work at home, are you working on raising the kids in the household, or do you have another work at home, endeavor going on?
Yes.
Okay, so you are
I work virtually.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
computer.
That's what I was clarifying. Yeah, so you don't it works great for you. There's no you don't feel emasculated in any way that your wife makes more than you.
I did at first, probably the first 6 months, because I was the breadwinner, making substantially more, and then I made a career change because of children and things like that. And I'm freed up to, I'm not freed up, but I can make time in my schedule to make the kids lunch, take them back and forth to school, dishes, laundry if need be. The other thing I can do is, go out and paint the windows, if need be, where she wouldn't have been, she could, but she wouldn't do that if she was at home.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. I'm just kidding. So, Farnoosh, how about that?
I think that's great, and I thank you for being honest that in the beginning it was a little unexpected, and you had to sort of deal with that emotionally, like not being the breadwinner. But I think what's great is that you looked at the positive, and you're like, how can this actually be to the benefit of all of us now that we are parents? And I think those are the conscious awareness conversations that need to go on within relationships to say, okay, things haven't gone the way we thought. But we still love each other. We're still committed. We still have shared goals. We still have shared values. Let's redesign this so that everybody can still feel important, like a contributor, and happy. And that's very adult of you that you did that. Not everyone does that.
Thank you, Sean. Let's go next to Susan in La Crosse. Hi, Susan.
Hello. I have kind of an interesting situation. I'm 51, and I'm going to earn a lot more than my husband. But we just went to our financial advisor a couple days ago and, talking about our future and blah, blah, blah. But it was interesting because I don't know. My generation, or at least I feel like I have to do more of the chores and I call it child care, but it's actually multiple animals. But
pet care, yes.
Pet care, yeah. And so there is a little bit of resentment in my case because I make more money, plus
I'm glad you called, Susan, because I meant to bring that up, Farnoosh, because I think that that's still more common than we'd like to admit, that a woman can also do most of the household work even if she is making more money outside the home.
In fact, when she makes more, she does more housework than a woman who makes the same or less. And that a lot of that, I think, is fueled by feeling like you have to overcompensate in a more quote-unquote feminine way than you know, because their breadwinning status is considered masculine, that you're overcompensating in a very feminine department or traditionally feminine department, which is scrubbing toilets, unfortunately. And I wrote, I dedicated an entire chapter to this in my book because it has to stop. The insanity has to stop. And I talk a lot about how to outsource day-to-day stuff. If you have a partner who also works, and although it makes less, you can't expect that partner is going to be the, you know, doing 80% of the housework. So you have to find a way to invest your money in ways that can alleviate some of this drudgery. And a great equation, because I know that it's going to cost money to have someone come and clean your house, and some people don't want to do that. Why would I pay someone to do something that I can do myself, even though I hate doing it? So I always say, just leave it to the math. You know, take your salary, knock off the last three zeros, take that remaining number, divide it by two. That's your hourly wage. So if you make $50,000 a year, you're left with 50 by knocking off those last three zeros, divide 50 by two, $25 an hour. That's your personal hourly wage. If it's going to cost you less to hire someone to put up shelves, paint your bathroom, do your laundry or laundry plus house cleaning, if it's going to cost you less to hire someone to do that, it's probably worth it. It's worth your time because it would cost you more to do it yourself.
Yeah. We have just a minute to go. Maybe I meant to get into more of your tips. You talked about them along the way, but is there a top rule that we should remember, a takeaway rule that we should remember as breadwinning women?
I think the top winning rule is, forget the fairy tale. I think that's chapter one, and we still have this reliance on, you know, I think even for the most aspirational, ambitious women, sometimes we still feel like we want to be taken care of. And I put that in big air quotes. And you should be taken care of in a relationship, but don't necessarily anticipate it being in a financial way. Yeah. And the other thing I would say is look for the opportunities when you're in a relationship where you make more as the female breadwinner. The health benefits for your husband, for you, the fact that as a woman now you can pursue your career if you want to the utmost, that with your money you can invest that in ways to make your life easier.
Excellent, excellent. And we'll leave it there. Farnoosh Torabi, thanks for being with us. She's the author of When She Makes More. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.